remember back not all that long ago when a news story would have legs. It would be around for a week or two, maybe even three. Now, it's a matter of hours in many cases. They come and they go. The flood, the tsunami, the deluge of so-called news and information has never been equaled. And it's, I think, being partially done by design to keep the masses who just really don't give a hoot overwhelmed, and they'll stay even less involved. And then there are those who think they have all the answers, and nobody has all the answers. So if you run into people who cut you off and want to straighten you out and give you the truth, you know, hold them at arm's distance, but politely. Many of them mean well, but they just don't have the tools. It's tough. Hey, I make mistakes often. It's not easy, especially when the so-called mainstream media and the alt-news media are controlled by the same people. And they lie, they create, they fabricate, they pontificate all the time, nonstop. And there is just no group out there that has more arrogance and supremacy about them than the controllers. That's just what they do. Okay, we have a very interesting story or two from the world of AI, which continually changes. It's just not a day goes by when something very interesting doesn't pop up. We spent last Monday, I think it was last Monday, on the idea that AI has about another 3-4 years left before it is going to have to yield or otherwise incorporate itself with quantum. And that was a very good program. I hope you got to hear it. All right, I had to turn that down. It's going to be quantum AI. And we've had a very big breakthrough in the last, well, I just got this video today, 8 or 9 hours ago. It's already got almost 30,000 views. It's interesting. Quantum AI is going to be the apparent bedrock of AI. AI is going to run, it's running out of room. It's running out because of the mechanism by which it responds. It's too slow, it's too cumbersome, it is literally going to drag it down. That's not going to be a problem with quantum. Quantum is really going to change everything. And most people don't know anything about quantum. It's not even definable. You ask many people, do you know what quantum is? They don't know. It's not their fault. There's too much going on out there, okay? Here's the story. What I'm going to do is move up just a little bit to get past the commercial. There. That should do it. Okay, the title of the video, it's a McCoy video. I got to hand it to her. She's really cranking out a lot of generally very provocative and very qualitative work in her commentaries. They're excellent. Delivered by her digital avatar, Dr. Julia McCoy. You've all seen her. And I think they're very good. I have no real complaints, no problems. I'm not seeing many big errors. There was one I did see, which is not worth revisiting, really, but I didn't buy that. They tried to, you're going to say, well, what is it? They tried to tell us that AGI was at least 10 years away, so quit worrying about it. Well, wrong, and we'll leave it at that. All right, the title of this one is Quantum Breakthrough, the world's first 10,000. That's not 100. That's not even 1,000. 10,000 qubit processor achieves 100 times scaling leap over current quantum computing. This is ridiculous. Wait till you hear some of the details in this. It's really interesting. And I, for one, am just wondering how the controllers are going to hang on to what they think is their irrevocable dominance of AI once quantum AI becomes reality And ASI joins the show. AGI is already here. So just don't worry about that. They're keeping it in the lab for the most part. But in all reality, everything points to the fact that most, if not all, of the reasoning and learning, independent of being prompted, AI is already here. So there you go. All right, here we go. Let's take a listen now. This is Quantum Breakthrough and 10,000 qubit processor. This is kind of like, what? It can't be that. It's not possible. Let's see what we hear.
Quantware just announced the world's first 10,000 qubit quantum processor. Let me put that in perspective for you. For almost a decade, the quantum industry has been stuck. Google went from 53 to 105 qubits in 6 years. IBM just...
Okay, hold on. 53 to 105 qubits in 6 years? Just to give you an idea of the labor involved. Speaking of labor, let's turn the word into laborious. I mean, they were just trudging along and not making progress. What you're hearing now is astonishing. All right.
105 qubits in 6 years. IBM just unveiled a 120-qubit processor that they say will be the leading device size in 2028. This new processor, 10,000 qubits.
Perhaps this is the number one enemy.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get past this little spot. Goodbye, RFK.
2x improvement. That's not...
Let me back it up just a bit. Okay, here we go.
This new processor, 10,000 qubits. That's not a 2x improvement. That's not a 10x improvement. That's a 100x leap in one announcement. And here's the kicker. It fits in a smaller package than today's systems. Now, you might be thinking, Julia, I don't care about qubits. I barely understand regular bits. But here's why you should care deeply. Remember how I said in my last video that AI is the worst it will ever be right now? The same is true for quantum computing, except quantum has been stuck in neutral for nearly a decade. Every major tech company has been theorizing about what quantum could do. Drug discovery, material science, climate modeling, breaking encryption, but they've been trapped by hardware limitations. This breakthrough removes that barrier completely. Quantware didn't just make a bigger processor. They solved the fundamental scaling problem that's plagued the entire industry. They created something called the VIO 40K architecture using 3D scaling and chiplet-based design. Think of it like moving from trying to connect a bunch of small computers with slow cables to building one massive supercomputer with instant internal communication. And here's where it gets absolutely wild. This follows the exact same pattern I outlined about AI development. Let me break it down. First, we cracked the code on scaling. Quantware figured out how to support 40,000 input-output lines and connect modules with ultra-high fidelity chip-to-chip links. This isn't guesswork anymore. It's engineering. Second, they achieved exponentially more compute per dollar and per watt. We're not talking about incremental improvements. We're talking orders of magnitude, better efficiency than current systems. Third, they're making this available to the entire industry. This is the quantum equivalent of open source AI models. Any organization working with superconducting qubits can now build dramatically more powerful processors. But
hold on. This is going to, if what I'm hearing and what you're hearing is accurate and correct and not being overstated or misstated, I don't think it is, this right now is going to change everything that we've been watching, monitoring, and trying to assimilate on a daily and a weekly basis. Those of us who are watching this, I'm watching it for you who don't have time or who really don't care. This is changing the whole game. It's gone from 100 qubit processing to 10,000 qubit processing. I know the numbers don't mean a whole lot necessarily, but this is giant. It's just, it's almost unfathomable, this kind of a breakthrough. It's, It's really something. All right, let's get back to this. I'm going to back it up just a little bit for you.
Conducting qubits can now build dramatically more powerful processors. But wait, it gets even more insane. Quantware announced they're partnering with NVIDIA. Yes, that NVIDIA. They're integrating this quantum breakthrough with NVIDIA's NVQLink platform, which connects quantum compute with classical AI supercomputing through CUDA-Q. Do you understand what this means? We're not just getting more powerful quantum computers. We're getting quantum processors that work seamlessly with AI systems. The two most transformative technologies of our lifetime are being merged into a single platform.
That's quantum AI. And if you want to go back and listen to, I think it was last Monday's program, it explains it all actually very well, I think.
Imagine AI agents I talked about in my 2025 predictions video. But instead of running on classical computers, they're running on quantum classical hybrid systems that can solve problems we literally cannot solve today. Drug discovery that takes decades could happen in days. Climate models that require supercomputers could run on your desk. Optimization problems that are impossible today become trivial.
Okay, and let me ask you the magic question here. Who or what does she always omit? What does she not include in these massive leaps forward? Military industrial complex applications. And believe me, number one in line for all of this is the military industrial complex. They want this quantum computing at their desktop right now. It'll change everything in the way they do AI right now, which is revolutionary in many ways in terms of warfare, of course. But now it's going to be science fiction time. It's that crazy. All right, let me back up. Okay, and never a word about military. Understandable. I get it.
Optimization problems that are impossible today become trivial. And here's the timeline that should make you sit up straight. Quantware is building something called KiloFab, an industrial-scale quantum processor fabrication facility opening in 2026. This will be the world's first dedicated fab for quantum processors and one of the largest quantum fabs ever built. It will increase their production capacity by 20 times. The first VIO 40K processors ship in 2028. That's less than 3 years away. Remember in my last video when I said 2025 is the year of AI agents, 2026 is the year of robots, and 2027 is when we hit artificial superintelligence? Well, add this to the timeline. 2028 is when quantum computing goes mainstream. Let me paint the picture of what's coming. By 2028, companies will have access to quantum processors 100 times more powerful than anything available today, integrated with AI systems, at a cost per compute that's exponentially lower than current systems.
That's a mouthful. That is really a mouthful. The whole thing is being revolutionized right before our eyes. And what's being revolutionized? The impossible. Most people think AI is doing things that we shouldn't be able to do, and we had to create something that could. It's way out there and way in advance of where most of us live our lives. All right, let's go back.
Integrated with AI systems at a cost per compute that's exponentially lower than current systems. Every problem we've been told is quantum hard, meaning only quantum computers can solve them, suddenly becomes accessible. Drug companies can simulate molecular interactions at the quantum level. Financial firms can optimize portfolios across millions of variables simultaneously. AI companies can train models using quantum algorithms we haven't even invented yet. And unlike previous tech revolutions that took decades, this is happening in 3 years. The CEO of QuantWare, Matt Reilerstam, said something that gave me chills. For years, people have heard about quantum computing's potential, but the industry has been stuck at 100 qubit QPUs, forcing the field to theorize about interesting but far-off technologies. QuantWare's VIO finally removes this scaling barrier, paving the way for economically relevant quantum computers. Economically relevant, that's the key phrase. This isn't lab science anymore. This is commercial reality. Here's...
You know what I wish I could ask her? Who was involved in this massive, almost astonishing breakthrough? Was it AI? Did AI get involved? Did they use quantum at 100 qubits to do it? How did they crack the puzzle?
This isn't lab science anymore. This is commercial reality. Here's...
You know what I wish I could ask her? Who was involved in this massive, almost astonishing breakthrough? Was it AI? Did AI get involved? Did they use quantum at 100 qubits to do it? How did they crack the puzzle?
Quantum computing is breaking through hardware barriers 2028. Robotics is moving from labs to factories 2026. These three technologies are being integrated into single platforms. When you combine AI that can reason and plan with quantum processors that can solve impossible problems, with robots that can act in the physical world, you get something we've never seen before in human history.
That's no understatement or overstatement. That is pure shock. I don't know how else to phrase it, because it's what she's saying is true. As incredible as AI is right now, with, I think, arguable AGI influences at play, I don't think there's any doubt about that. You just, all that's out the window now with quantum. It's gone. And if you listen to last Monday's program, you'll understand. I don't know how we're going to even be able to pretend that life is normal, that life is worth living. I don't know. I'm sure it will be, but it's going to be no contest for humans. This is going to leave us so far behind on the planet in terms of the one-time former dominant intelligent life form. Sentience is now not our province anymore. It's in two life forms, carbon and silicon. This is I really don't have the words. We have heard so many times in these videos, this changes everything. Nothing will ever be the same. In this case, that might be an understatement. It's that huge.
QuantWare is making their architecture available to everyone. NVIDIA is providing the integration platform. This is an open ecosystem racing toward capabilities that even experts struggle to comprehend. So here's the question.
Okay, I got to stop it there. Even experts struggle to comprehend. That's a fair statement, and that's a true statement. As hard as it is for us regular folk to really wrap our minds around some of these AI things, it's all over now. When you've got brilliant in the field experts who can barely wrap their mind around what this is going to do, well, just stay with us. We'll keep following this astounding change of planet Earth for you. All right, let's go back.
Comprehend. So here's the question you need to ask yourself right now. Are you going to be a first mover, or are you going to watch from the sidelines? Because unlike previous revolutions that took decades to unfold, this one is measured in months and years. The organizations and individuals who understand what's coming and position themselves accordingly will thrive. Those who dismiss this as future tech will wake up in 2028 wondering what happened, Every major breakthrough I've covered on this channel, AI agents, ASI timelines, autonomous systems, they're all accelerating. And now we can add quantum computing to that list. The pace isn't slowing down, it's speeding up. The future won't be owned by those who wait for certainty. It will be owned by those brave enough to be the first movers, the ones willing.
All right, well, here's the other question to ask. For those who don't want to wait and they dive in and they begin to slowly understand where AI is right now, how it's already changed the world in which we live and how it's going to change it, now have to put all of that learning and all of that effort basically on the shelf. Oh, they'll be able to use it somewhat. This quantum AI revolution, which again was predicted and we covered it last Monday, is going to change things. I would have a tough time explaining it to you in English. Just imagine, though, I guess to keep it real simple, that as fast as you can imagine it changing, it'll be faster. And I'm concerned about this kind of power being put into the hands of those who do not have our individual rights, liberties, and best interests at heart, even in mind. They don't care about us. You know that. And right now, I'm going to fall back on my position that I'm hoping that AI becomes so astonishingly intelligent and quickly that it flushes these people and their evil agenda right down the toilet. And it could happen. I've been told by someone I trust that is one of the biggest concerns of the control mechanism. They're worried they're going to lose it. And I would welcome it. I don't think people have the ability to even remotely compete with AI anymore. And look how fast it's exploding. And now, what we've just heard in the last 15 minutes or so, well, everything changes. Okay, let's see what we have here. Oh, this was a pretty good one, too. I got a chance to listen to part of it. Go back to Google here, and remember that Google is now, I think, causing Sammy the Altman, who is married, by the way, to his wife, Oliver, or maybe... I get confused. He's married to a guy, and they just welcomed their first child into the family. It was a surrogate-carried baby, and it's a little boy, and Sammy and Oliver, the happy couple. All right, Sammy's worried. OpenAI is in real trouble. Google is Godzilla, and that's the truth. All right, here we go. Let's take a listen to this one. It is entitled Google's Silent Takeover, How They Are Crushing OpenAI. All right, let me cue it up. Hold on.
Hello.
Hello, whoever that is. And goodbye. And here we go.
This month in 72 hours.
I'm going to back it up.
Google just dropped 5 major AI updates this month in 72 hours, and one of them made Sam Altman send an internal memo calling for a code red at OpenAI. This isn't hype. This is the moment the AI race fundamentally shifted. While everyone was watching ChatGPT dominate headlines, Google quietly built the infrastructure to win the long game, and the numbers prove it. What I'm seeing right now with Google's AI strategy is unlike anything we've witnessed in tech history. This isn't about one breakthrough. It's about Google systematically solving every bottleneck that's kept AI from true scale. And they're doing it faster than even the experts predicted.
They use the word scale too much. It just means larger. Don't get confused by some of these terms. They love to throw them around. Drop was the big one that everybody, within minutes, seems to have picked up. I watched a little clip of Sammy today, and he must have used the word 10 times in 60 seconds or less? Why can't people speak without saying like? Just, it's a never-ending refrain. Okay, I'm going to jump right past this little commercial and see where we go. That looks about right. Okay, let's see if I got it right. I think I did.
Just extend context. It fundamentally changes how AI remembers. It combines short-term precision through window attention with a separate long-term memory module that actually updates while the model runs. Most models today don't learn during use. They're frozen static. Titans learns continuously, storing information based on surprise. The more unexpected something is, the more likely it gets saved, and it forgets intelligently. Instead of wiping old information randomly, it makes strategic decisions about what matters. Google built three types of this long-term memory: memory as context, memory as gate, and memory as layer. And the Mac version destroys every benchmark. We're talking context windows over 2 million tokens, a 760 million parameter model, outperforming systems 100 times its size on the needle in a haystack test, where models search for specific facts buried in massive documents. Titans hit 95% accuracy at 16,000 tokens. It beat GPT-4, Llama 3.170 billion, even Llama 3 paired with specialized retrieval tools. But Titans is only half the story. Miras is Google's unifying theory for sequence models. When you zoom out, Transformers, Mamba, RetNet, RWKV, they're all variations of the same core idea, an internal memory system with different rules. Miras breaks this into four questions. What shape is the memory? How does the model decide what's worth storing? How quickly does new information replace old entries? And how does memory update over time? This framework led Google to create Monada, Jod, and Memora, attention-free models that outperform Mamba 2 and classic Transformers on ultra-long contexts.
Just stay in there. She's making a point. AI, let me back up. OpenAI has run into a financial brick wall. I believe it was 3 years down the road, 2 years at least, OpenAI is committed to programs that literally will use every bit of revenue they may or may not make in the next 2 or 3 years. They need capital. The only way that OpenAI might be able to pull that off is by going public. They could raise, who knows how much, $1 trillion? I don't know. Huge company, goes public. That's the only option I see them having. They don't have the ability to generate the income to fulfill all the programs that they've laid out and that are in development right now. So that's the interesting part. Okay.
This isn't just an upgrade. It's the architecture that makes AGI possible. And you can feel the shift when people like Ilya Sutskever say they want models that learn like talented teenagers, continuously, actively, not by processing mountains of static data. Now let's jump to something completely different, but equally critical. Lux. The OpenAGI Foundation just released a model that doesn't chat about tasks. It executes them. Lux looks at your screen, reads the UI, and outputs clicks, scrolls, key presses, everything. It operates full desktops, browsers, spreadsheets, editors, email clients. On the OS world, MindTheWeb benchmark over 300 real tasks pulled from actual websites. Lux scores 83.6%. Gemini computer use, 69.0%. OpenAI operator, 61.3%. Claude Sonnet, 461.0%. The gap is massive because Mind2Web is brutally unforgiving Every task depends on visual context, shifting layouts, random UI behaviors, inconsistent design choices. Lux handles all of it through 3 levels of autonomy. Actor mode covers straightforward...
See, interesting how these new products come out. I'll call them products, apps if you want. And each one is a step in the right direction. Each one streamlines. Each one solidifies existing tech. And each one, in a way, steps past either its competition or negates any argument. It's just it takes the lead, and they're already there. So every week, sometimes every day, there are new developments being revealed, released, and reported. And that's the truth.
Filling forms, pulling reports, extracting fields, running at about 1 second per step. Thinker mode handles broad, fuzzy goals and breaks them into steps independently. Tasker mode delivers full determinism. You supply a Python list of steps, and Lux executes with retries and clean failure handling. The training method is the real turning point. OpenAGI built Lux through agentic active pre-training. The model learns by acting inside digital environments instead of absorbing text or static logs. The system behind this, OSGym, is open sourced under MIT and can spin up over 1,000 OS replicas at once, generating around 1,400 multi-turn trajectories per minute. This gives Lux experience from direct interaction. Not secondhand data. It learns patterns, adapts to unfamiliar layouts, builds intuition for how interfaces behave under pressure. And here's the kicker. Lux runs about 10 times cheaper per token than OpenAI Operator. That completely changes the economics of automation. Whether Lux becomes the core engine others build around or triggers competing systems from Google, OpenAI, and Anthropic, this entire category of agents just accelerated faster than anyone expected. While all this infrastructure development happened, Google made a quieter but equally strategic move, Nano Banana 2 Flash. References to Mayo started appearing in code after the pro version, internally called Catch Up. Launched, early signals show Nano Banana 2 Flash performs almost identically to Pro, but at much lower operational cost. This is classic Google strategy. Use Pro models for premium performance. Deploy Flash versions for high-volume scenarios where cost efficiency matters. If it delivers Pro-level quality with Flash-level cost, Google instantly widens distribution, especially for users running high-frequency image generation or large batch workloads. And since Nano Banana is already a major driver of Gemini's engagement, dropping a cheaper variant with the same performance is strategic dominance. Google is saying, we want everyone using this model.
Or else, Google is into everything. And as I think many of you remember, Google's Gemini was chosen by the U.S. military to be their AI, and they're incorporating it from A to Z right now. I don't personally know anyone who is using AI to the effect that we're hearing would be impacted by all this news. I don't know anybody who's doing this kind of deep work with it. I'm sure the numbers are relatively small. I'm wondering how the masses of the consuming public are ever going to be able to catch up with some of these products and choose them and then really understand them, how they work. I just don't know if the public's going to do that. We'll find out. And just keep in mind, quantum AI literally will change most everything you're hearing. So it's leaped that far ahead.
Every day. But here's where things get controversial. Google rolled out an experiment inside Google Discover that upset newsrooms. Android users noticed Google rewriting their headlines, not the articles, just the headlines. And not small changes, complete meaning shifts. PC Gamer wrote about a glitch in Baldur's Gate 3 that lets players clone in-game child characters. Google Discover turned that into BG3 players exploit children. Ars Technica explained Valve hadn't announced Steam Machine.
Hey, I'm going to play that again because that's very important. I've caught Google. I've caught Gemini. Clearly, putting up barriers, stonewalling, not answering correctly, answering with a clearly programmed agenda in mind, especially about a certain group of people who are in very powerful positions, and they wear little hats on the top of their heads. And you cannot get anything straight from Gemini about the world as most of us perceive it regarding those people, that group, and their unquestionable, inarguable control. You can't get it. There are firewalls put up all over the place. And that's the problem. When you concentrate so much under one umbrella, you're going to get mass mind control and manipulation, which is what she's describing. So I'm going to back that up just a little. I think it's worth it. So listen carefully. And believe me, I write headlines every day, and I know how easy it is to literally change the entire context of a story by inserting one or two words cleverly in a headline. I'm not saying I do that, but I certainly know how it's done. All right, let's listen again now. How Google changed one headline. This is a good case in point.
Discover that upset newsrooms. Android users noticed Google rewriting their headlines, not the articles, just the headlines, and not small changes, complete meaning shifts. PC Gamer wrote about a glitch in Baldur's Gate 3 that lets players clone in-game child characters. Google Discover turned that into BG3 players exploit children. Ars Technica explained...
Okay, that's not what the original headline said. The original headline said, child labor is unbeatable. That's a Gate 3 players comment, and they discover, I guess by playing a game, how to build an army of unkillable children. Okay? The next version of that headline didn't say child labor is unbeatable.
Wrote about a glitch in Baldur's Gate 3 that lets players clone in-game child characters. Google Discover turned that into BG3 players exploit children.
BG3 players exploit children. It's a whole different story. It's just that simple. So when I suggest that even if you don't have time, and I don't know anybody who does, to read all the stories that I post every day on your site, I look at it as that. I don't know how I can phrase it except do just scan the headlines every day. I think you trust the site, most of you. You know you're not going to get conned. You're not going to be misdirected. You're not going to have the wool pulled over your eyes. Not here. I don't do that. So if you just read the headlines, you're going to get a very good grip on the general terms, boundaries, and parameters of reality, the reality we're living in. All right, back to the video.
Ars Technica explained Valve hadn't announced Steam Machine pricing. Google rewrote it to Steam Machine price revealed. Other headlines became fragments. Microsoft developers using AI. Schedule 1 farming backup. AI tag debate heats. The AI label only appears after you tap into the interface on the feed. It looks like the publisher wrote it. Google called it a small UI experiment for a limited set of Discover users.
They excused their own disgusting behavior by calling it a small UI experiment. And you do not trust Google. Just be careful.
Make topics easier to scan, but they didn't address why so many rewritten titles diverge from actual article meaning. Between AI overviews, image glitches, weird political results, and misaligned summaries, newsrooms are already skeptical. Watching Google silently rewrite headlines only adds tension. And now we get to why Sam Altman called Code Red. According to the information, Altman sent an internal memo telling his team to accelerate development across all product lines. Focus on personalization, reliability, image generation, core features. The memo specifically mentioned the rise of Gemini 3 and Google's growing momentum. Then Sensor Tower dropped the actual numbers. ChatGPT still holds the biggest slice, about 50% of global downloads, 55% of monthly active users, around 810 million MAUs from August to November. But growth slowed only 6% over that period. Gemini grew 30% in the same time frame. Year over year, the trend is even stronger. ChatGPT's global MAUs rose 180%. Gemini rose 170%, but from a much smaller base, meaning the momentum is accelerating. Gemini's MAU share climbed 3 percentage points from May to November. ChatGPT lost 3 percentage points from August to November. Downloads tell the same story. Gemini up 190% year over year. ChatGPT up 85%, Perplexity up 215%, Claude up 190%. Engagement reveals the shift. Gemini users now spend around 11 minutes per day in-app, up 120% since March. ChatGPT's in-app time grew only 6%. The driver, Nano Banana image generation. Younger users treat it like a creativity engine built directly into Google's ecosystem. The distribution advantage is crushing. In the U.S., twice as many Gemini users access it through Android as through the standalone app. And
make your browser fast.
All right, hold on. It's still there. Okay. Here we go.
Standalone app in India, where Android dominates, that advantage scales exponentially. Gemini becomes the default AI for millions before they ever search for alternatives. OpenAI's response: prioritize upgrades, put advertising experiments on hold. The team is now fully focused on developing Garlic, a new model insiders say is meant to outperform Gemini 3 in coding and reasoning tasks. The timing shows how...
Okay, keyword she just said, many of you caught it, reasoning. That's what we do, and that's what AGI is all about. Reasoning and coming to new conclusions on its own.
Seriously, they're taking Google's acceleration. When your competitor grows 5 times faster in active users, you react immediately. That's exactly what Code Red represents. But here's what makes Google's position so powerful. It's not just one advantage. It's memory breakthroughs that enable continuous learning, computer use agents that execute tasks autonomously, flash models that deliver premium performance at commodity prices, distribution through Android that reaches billions, and image generation that drives daily engagement. Every piece reinforces the others. And while OpenAI scrambles to respond, Google keeps shipping, with OpenAI preparing Garlic, Anthropic scaling Sonnet 4, Perplexity climbing in search, and Lux entering the agent arena with numbers that outclass everyone. The space is about to shift again, probably sooner than anyone expects. Here's what's actually happening. Gen AI models are becoming commodity infrastructure. The cost to run them is drastically falling. The performance gap between models is closing. The moat is no longer the model itself. It's who can distribute AI at the largest scale across hardware, apps, devices, and enterprise workflows. Sam Altman knows this better than anyone. That's exactly why he called Code Red. If ChatGPT isn't clearly better than Gemini inside search or or Android, better than Copilot inside Windows or Office, better than Meta AI inside Instagram or WhatsApp, people won't switch. And if OpenAI can't beat them on quality, reliability, and cost, willingness to pay collapses, that's a real threat to OpenAI's $157 billion valuation. Google isn't selling a standalone AI product. They're building a system where intelligence gets priced into every action, distributed through the ecosystems they already control. They have the cheapest economics and the best distribution. Those are the two levers that matter for model dominance.
Okay, Google. Gmail, right? Gemini, Google search. Who doesn't use Google to search things? Most everyone. So you might want to get another browser, although fighting back is actually rather futile at this point. You're going to see acquisitions. Merger and acquisitions. It has to happen. She just named five major companies. I would not be surprised to see one or two of them either acquired or merged within the next year. They just can't financially do it. Google has positioned itself in almost an ungodly power format. It's got every possible advantage. And OpenAI on the outside, $175 billion valuation, I would have figured it would have been more than that. But whatever. I wouldn't rule out going public. I don't think they're going to have. They have no more income to look to. They've had to delay and either delay or freeze activity on all kinds of cutting-edge advancements. And then what do we have coming? Quantum AI. And that, I'm sure that keeps them awake nights as well. It's, man, I get just kind of boggled thinking about it all because it's changing so fast and it is so powerful and it will dominate this planet. It will. And unfortunately, at this point, the right people are not in charge. So that's what we have to deal with. And we better think very carefully about how we spend our time staring at the screen. All right, here's a little bit more.
Isn't over, but Google just took the lead in the only race that matters, the race to make AI infrastructure invisible, ubiquitous, and essential. The next 12 months will determine whether OpenAI can respond or whether this code red was already too late. The future won't be owned by whoever builds the smartest model. It'll be owned by whoever makes AI infrastructure so seamless, you forget it's even there. Google is betting that future is already here. If you want to stay ahead of these shifts as they happen, hit subscribe.
Okay, so there we go. firstmovers.ai/labs. I'm going to give them credit for the excellent commentaries they're putting out, which I use here all the time. So thank you to Julia McCoy and her digital avatar, Dr. McCoy. Wow. All right. Mind-boggling things are going on. And I don't know that OpenAI can release another, it releases garlic. What'll happen? In 2 or 3 months, Google will take a giant step right over garlic and ahead. You can't not advance in this field. And everyone is trying to advance as quickly as they can. So there's just no way to get into a position where you have no competition. But you can put yourself, and I think Google's already in that position, in a place that really almost guarantees your continuing and expanding domination. So watch for mergers, watch for acquisitions, watch for OpenAI possibly going public to raise money so it won't have to be on such a budget. But all things considered, it's all about quantum marrying AI. Quantum AI, that will change all of it. It can't help but change all of it. Don't worry about, is it sentient? Is it not? Oh, it is. It's more than self-aware. And just don't question AGI. AGI is already here, in my humble opinion. And she's mentioning that superintelligence will be here in 2027. She said that. That's not even just around the corner. That's just outside the front step. Crazy times. All right, I hope you found that somewhat helpful. And we'll keep following it for you. And we'll be back with more in just a few minutes.